Vardian, get in. Close the door.
Sure. Hey, Dylan. You've been busy up here.
Yeah, this is what work looks like. I've been trying to figure out a solution on the monster ecology problem. I need a couple of sigils in the right spots.
Dylan, are you sure about this?
I wasn't entirely convinced magic existed until last week, Aram. I'm not certain about anything.
I assume this is one of those things you weren't quite sure about?
I mean, I could probably get better materials for this if we had more funding.
Well, for $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they are released. For $5, you'll get those ad-free episodes early, along with audio DM notes featuring Dylan and I recapping what went into producing each one.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DM's notes, along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels also get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we've got left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 Patreon tiers are available with 7-day trials for new subscribers, so head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want a free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster.
My name is Aram, and my pronouns are he, him. I'm the producer of the Dungeons & Dragons podcast, God's Fall.
And I'm Dylan. My pronouns are he, they, and I'm a physicist from Canada.
Welcome to Kill Every Monster. This week on Kill Every Monster, we are featuring the Lich.
The Monster Manual describes liches as the remains of great wizards who embrace undeath as a means of preserving themselves. They hunger for long-forgotten knowledge and the most terrible secrets. Because the shadow of death doesn't hang over them, they can conceive of plans that take years, decades, or centuries to come to fruition.
We are joined by Eric Silver. Eric is an award-winning podcasting producer, game designer, and teacher based in the great state of New York. He is recognized wildly as the best game master in podcasting, running the actual play TTRPG show Join the Party since 2017. His most recent game, Model Our Nations, is out now. Find him on Blue Sky at ericsilver.bsky.social. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Conceiving of plans that take years, decades, or centuries. What is this, podcasting?
Pretty much.
I have to check now when I first messaged you about this, because I think it was a good full year.
It takes the same amount of time.
I think it was even years before. I've been like, hey, I'd really like to talk about golems if you haven't given it away already, in like 2011 or like 2021.
Okay. It was 2022.
Okay.
But it was
the beginning.
January.
Right. I was so close.
Off by 3 weeks. Anyway, I'm good at scheduling. Shut up, everybody. I'm a good producer.
You are, because it gets done. If it was up to me, the show would have lasted 3 episodes.
Eric, we've said what the Monster Manual thinks. Tell the people, what is a lich?
Gary Gygax was doing his favorite thing, which is flipping through other cultures' religious and mythological texts and learning about other cultures and doing what his favorite thing was is pulling little things that he sees from other places. He's like, oh, I'm gonna grab like a demon from this religion, or I'm gonna pull this monster from here, or I'm gonna turn this god into something else. I'm gonna have both demons and devils because I get to have both. And then he came, he's like, oh, I need an embodiment of death. I need someone who uses death as power. And I'm gonna I'll mix some stuff together. There's a talisman here. And I saw the Jews had this box where they keep stuff. And I think that's neat. And I'm gonna mix that together and bing, bang, boom, I invented something. Here's a lich. I wrote this article in Hey Alma, which is this millennial Jewish blog. He was mostly focusing on golems and how Gary Gygax truly wiped away the real Jewish mythology from golems.
Everything that makes a golem not just a robot.
Yeah, it's you have a word for this. You even invented a word. It's called a construct, and yet you decided to take another one. There was a lawsuit by the Tolkien estate telling them to stop it. They used too many words that were in the books, and it was too close.
That's why we can't say hobbits.
It's why they're always labeled as halflings.
This was also at the cusp of when Wizards of the Coast have been having some real, real problems, I think, starting in 2020. I'm looking at the article as this is when people realized that Oriental Adventures was still being sold. This is when Orion Black said they had a really bad time working for them. That was the peak of this when I was figuring this out.
I think that's what really radicalized me with Wizards, when Orion just was treated so poorly. Such a brilliant person, and you did not take advantage of that. And that was kind of my final straw.
And obviously, Wizards of the Coast has done such a good job recently just sending Pinkertons to people's houses, so they were totally not doing that anymore. And then I was digging into the Lich, as the Lich is a creation of something from Dungeons & Dragons. That was the first cited. I think there were ideas of Death Lords before, certainly, but I think the Lich phrase was invented for Dungeons & Dragons.
Lich as a word was in use in fiction to refer to corpses in general.
Oh.
It is a word that I think has I think it might be Old English roots, and it just means body. So it might have been used to refer to undead at large, but the Lich as we know it is actually Gary Gygax in Greyhawk.
Clark Ashton Smith in The Empire of the Necromancers, a book published in 1932, had used lich as a general term for any corpse, animated or inanimate, before the term's specific use in fantasy role-playing games.
When Tasha's Cauldron of Everything was coming out in June 2020, and that's when they started actually addressing the race science in the books, and hey, make whatever changes. We're not going to do it at this point in our time. Make whatever changes you want at your table. The Lich is not the problem. The Death Lord, the avatar of inverting the nature of humanity, the life cycle for power. Here's the issue with the Lich. The place where the Lich puts their soul, that box is called a phylactery. I don't know what a phylactery is. I have no idea what it is. I've never heard the word. I don't get it. Because what I think of a box, a small box that's maybe has leather, it gets covered in leather and has writings inside of it where you keep religious stuff. I know what that is. It's called tefillin. That's what Jews wear when they're praying. They put one on an arm and they put one on the forehead. And that's called, and you do it, and it has certain prayers in it. It's supposed to symbolize a bunch of stuff from the Torah. It doesn't really matter. When I hear the word phylactery, it reminds me of the 10 million Christians that are super invested in the Zionist project right now. And how there are 10 million Christians involved in that project and 8 million Jews in the entire world at the moment. There are more Zionist Christians than there are Jews. When someone is explaining Jewish stuff back to me, they might use a word like phylactery. And I'm like, that's wild. Yes, of course, in the Greek, and it means talisman or amulet or something.
If you were to look it up, phylactery in the Greek does refer to generically amulet.
Yes.
But phylactery was also specifically the word that was used in Greek for tefillin. Like, it is referring to the same object. It's the thing that people love to gloss over.
If you've only seen the Rugrats Hanukkah special, I mean, this is pretty close to what was happening. The Hanukkah story was about this time period. There's a lot of stories like after the time of the Torah where the Jews were still running around trying not to die. And yeah, Greek, the Hellenistic period when like everyone...
Thank God it got better.
No. But it was just, it was a little different. And yeah, there's a lot of like times of people, lots of different peoples in power were describing Jewish objects. It's funny you said that, Dylan, because I today, and maybe now that I'm using DuckDuckGo, because... in the time between I wrote this article and now, Google has shat itself. So I looked it up today just to check what comes up when you get phylactery. The American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, 5th edition. The first thing is a description of what tefillin is. Either of the two small leather boxes containing strips of parchment inscribed with quotations from the Hebrew scriptures, LOL, written by Christian, traditionally worn strapped to the forehead and the left arm by Jewish men during morning worship, except on the Sabbath, LOL, also funny, and holidays. Two, see also tefillin. Three, a charm or amulet. Same thing for Merriam-Webster, very similar. Same thing for Britannica.com. Only when you get to ForgottenRealms.fandom.com. Is it, in fact, the first thing as spoken in the Monster Manual?
We have this conversation a little bit with Evan in the Gollum episode, but it is the fundamental misunderstanding that D&D bakes into its lore. D&D can't handle Judaism because Judaism is a religion that prizes academic understanding and knowledge of its own structures and rules. You read things. Intellect is a reasonable casting stat for a cleric who is Jewish.
Interesting.
But the moment you make it an intelligence thing, it can't be attached to God. God can only be known through wisdom. And if it's not known through wisdom, it must be arcana. And since it's arcana, it's a cult. And since it's a cult, it's evil.
I cast all of my spells through charisma. It's my argumentative stat. But that's very good, Dylan. I've never considered it from that perspective. That's very interesting. The Lich as an existence, I do not have a problem with. Like, one of my favorite villains of all time is the Lich from Adventure Time, because it drills down on what the Lich is. It is a creature that wants everything to die. I am the end. I am going to extinguish the final light. Why do I need to keep my box in this thing that you found in your studies, Gary? Like, why is my box your thing? Why have you grabbed it? Especially because of, we were talking about like how Dungeons and Dragons and the fantasy genre are trying to be hand in hand, intertwined.
Yeah.
In 5e, you have to keep feeding it. So in order to make it, you have to feed it a soul. But to keep being a lich, you got to keep feeding its soul. So it's got to be somewhere nearby, I think. But there's not strict rules on it.
You could do it in the morning, maybe. You could do it in the morning, every morning.
If you're talking to the general D&D public, you wind up with the old school AD&D folks who will see this shit. And if you point out to them, hey, phylacteries are a Jewish thing, making them into the thing that an evil monster uses to keep itself alive, making it an object that is to be destroyed. That's fucked up.
Dylan, that's pretty fucking woke of you. Can you get out of my goddamn games, please?
It's just so easy. It's like, just don't call it a phylactery. Maybe don't redesign Vecna with arm ribbons. Don't keep hinting towards this thing.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's wild.
Give it some room. Like, just make it different.
There are so many people who don't want to see anything in D&D change. And, oh, you have to change it because it's a Jewish thing. We're not making it anti-Semitic. Except, if I'm not mistaken, in like 3rd edition, they didn't have the you have to feed it souls aspect.
Right, yeah.
They brought it back around in 5th edition. Yep. And now you've walked back to blood libel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. You specifically took a fucking Jewish thing and made it the target of more murdering innocents.
Yeah, you gotta feed it babies or it just doesn't last. You gotta.
I'm torn because obviously the references need to be changed. If you just completely
yeah,
divorced it from those origins, I think you'd have a really good first step, because I do like the idea that a lich has to keep making sacrifices, that being a lich is an evil act and continues to be an evil act throughout being a lich. I kind of like that idea in general. Like, you are going against nature, and in order to go against nature, something has to be sacrificed. Something has to pay for those decisions. I do like that. It is very unfortunate that because of how they've chosen to create its origins, it's all negative.
Yeah.
The fantasy genre, and therefore D&D, as there is intertwined, I say the best person you can be if you're enjoying the fantasy genre is a Catholic who doesn't go to church anymore. You understand the structures of every religion in fantasy, in the fantasy world, and there's a pontifex, and maybe there's three gods intertwined, and they're all parts of one, and then you go to a place that has iconography. I only learned this because my wife is Catholic, and at least like on Long Island, where my family grew up, it's like half Catholic and half Jewish, so I figured it out after a little bit of time.
I grew up as a Christmas and Easter Catholic and eventually became not that.
For me, it's Orthodox, because we got all the swinging and the chains and the gold and the fancy outfits and the incense.
Only one of those temples showed up in Little Odessa in Spider-Man 2 in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. I'll tell you that much. That Greek Orthodox church is fucking awesome.
As an Armenian, I was like, oh yeah, Coneheads. I know them. Yeah. I'm very familiar with them.
So many of the different fantasy pieces of media I see, books, TV shows, movies, podcasts, actual play podcasts, etc. And I'm like, I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand this, like, the shepherd leading the flock. I don't understand the good, this person clearing out the darkness and then we're done sort of vibe. I just don't even understand, like, the religious war, because I'm on the other side. Like, when so many times we're having a crusade, I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a part of it. Even I don't even want to participate with it as a plot point, where it's like, it's a bummer. It sucks. So it's like, when we have to acknowledge that the book that's supposed to be, and this is tied to the IP stuff I was saying before about the D&D movie, and Hasbro is pushing Wizards of the Coast as like an IP machine, right? Okay, it's one thing if you're giving me a book that teaches me how to play pretend. It's another one entirely if you're telling me the only way to play pretend is in fact to play in the Forgotten Realms, in our world where there's race science and there's so much human slavery and all of this stuff happening, all of the things people have been talking about, the problems in the Forgotten Realms fantasy. Because it's like, it's not that much of a problem if you let me do what I want. But if you're telling me I have to do it in the Forgotten Realms, then we have a goddamn fucking problem. Then my lich cannot be whatever I want it to be. It cannot be the Adventure Time lich. It has to it has to go to its box every morning and crack open a baby like a blue egg.
They brought in a hag for Baldur's Gate 3. And of course, it's the evil witch who lives in the woods and is lured in a sweet, innocent woman who doesn't know any better. And also, she keeps making deals with other people, and all of those deals she reneges on. And there's like absolutely nothing in there that could be related to conceptions of witches that are maybe anti-Semitic. Nothing there at all. That was all cleared up because this one time on the internet, Jeremy Crawford said that your hags could be men.
When you're talking about power and you're talking about continual sacrifices to get power, man, isn't that our current like VC system? Isn't that the 10x return system, that it's not only to have it, it needs to constantly grow as fast as possible.
And that it's never your sacrifice. It's the sacrifice of others that allows you to retain that power.
Almost like the desecration of a dead body that gets brought back as a zombie, right? Like, you do not even have ownership over your own life. You are just a worker. You're just a worker, right? And I think like that might is much closer, that even without the death part, the lich as someone who needs to take sacrifice and the sacrifice of many, smushing it into the...
It's into the personal progress.
The wine of lichdom.
Yeah, yeah, whatever it is. You're just mushing it in there. You're throwing them into the engine. That's what liches are to me. And then they get magic powers from it.
My prep for this episode was reading a thought piece on Peter Thiel. Talks about his obsession with Lord of the Rings. And it's used by the writer to introduce this idea that Peter Thiel is obsessed with being immortal. He spent a huge amount of money on immortality research, and he describes it as the elves in Lord of the Rings are immortal, and human beings are just elves that die. So he's like, why can't we be elves? And it's a quote from, why can't we be elves? And I was like, this is how you get a fucking lich.
Yeah, the lich needs to live forever to hold on to the lich's stuff. That is so much more interesting.
Or that their ideas are so important that they can't let this brain die. This brain has to go on living. Everything else can be sacrificed, but you need to hear my ideas forever.
God, that would be a really interesting lich.
This is part of why I think the lich is almost a better metaphor for capitalism than anything else in D&D. Because capitalism lies to us. It's that lie of progress. Oh yeah, people are being thrown into the meat grinder, but the world's chugging along forward. And like, when you break it down, not really. Nothing's actually getting better. One guy's getting richer, and then we're changing the definition of poverty so that we can say that poverty went down. The lich is just that without the lie, because it is personal success. It is literally, no, I'm going to take an empire. I'm going to build a kingdom. I'm going to slowly murder everyone. And when you ask me why, oh God, I was reading a book. It was good, and I wasn't going to put it down. So fuck, thousands have to die, I guess.
What if we had buses? What if we did buses again?
What if taxis were higher capacity and just had a set route?
This is the pets.com of high-end groceries.
What if you build tunnels just big enough for a horse? They can't back up. They can't turn around. It'll go great.
No. I need like 20 more years. I got to kill some babies. Hold on.
God, I need to find a way to kill people. God, what if I just like put something into their head that would kill them? That'd be so efficient.
Everyone is like, oh man, you know, I want to make a lich, but they have to have this brilliant idea and it's difficult to think that far. No, you don't. You just have to have a guy who has one bad idea who won't let it go. And then you have a lich. It's got to be Elon Musk, but he won't fucking die.
So, Eric, are liches monsters?
The need for power, yes. The fact that they fancy themselves as a god king or as a decider of who lives and who dies or whatever, yeah. The all of the parts of all of the details, no.
The sub-question is, are liches monsters followed by are liches problems? They're evil, but like, do we need to deal with him if he's just like over there doing some research?
I guess that they keep killing someone, but again, it's that wouldn't that be fun to introduce to your players? Is like, are you going to deal with this? Really? You're going to deal with this? All right. I guess we're going to do this for 12 sessions.
It's like at Baldur's Gate where they were like, no, this is a good mind flayer. Yeah, you sometimes eat people, but they're evil. They did some low-level crime. You eat a guy every single day, but he stole bread, so it's fine. Like, wait a minute. No. This is not fine, but it just kind of gets glossed over. Like, if you want to include mind flayers, if you want to include liches, if you want to include people like this in the games and have them not be evil, you have to accommodate for the daily or whatever it is losing of an intelligent creature.
All vampire literature is about this. Plenty of people play Vampire the Masquerade or make their characters into vampires or werewolves or lycanthropes. I don't remember if the Tolkien estate told them they could do werewolves.
There's no way that Tolkien has any control over werewolves.
No, that'd be hilarious, though, if Tolkien's estate suddenly went after the whole...
Twilight,
thank you.
Oh.
That's fair. As previously mentioned, that was 30-ish years after your time, so. How's the phylactery coming along?
Look, if there's one thing I absolutely do not want to do, it is live forever. I'm kind of tired now. I don't want to add another 1,000 years.
Eric, how would you change liches in 5th edition?
I think they need to drill down on something more specific. Because right now, especially just from the... There's like 3 pages in the Monster Manual about this.
There's no chunks on liches in like a Volos or anything, which, good. Volos only makes things worse.
I got into Dungeons & Dragons right around when Volos came out, so I was like, oh my god, they have so much stuff on hags. I'm so interested. And like, you're really giving me a lot to chew on here. But they didn't even go farther into it. So like, they're just like, the lich is there, it's fine. If they are going to do this, they need to engage in the postmodernism here of what is the lich. What does it want? What is it dealing with? Is it just power and death? Like, even though those two ideas are too big and it should be one or the other, either this is a creature that is inverted death for whatever reason, and it can be anywhere, probably not good, but at least like neutral, or at least neutral, okay, lawful neutral going through, or this is a creature that will do anything for power and will use any of the various powers and magics of the Forgotten Realms to do it.
D&D is a game about killing stuff, and a lich is just an archmage. That's the same stat block. You can tell me it's got more slots, it's got different hit points, whatever, it's got different saves. That's just a different wizard build. There is nothing in the lich stats that isn't just wizard shit. There's always some vague statements about you have to do horrible things to produce your phylactery. But I don't have any recollection prior to 5th edition of anything requiring continuous sacrifice. It was one of those things that you set up and it ran. Hypothetically, like say you're a research person. The idea of the phylactery is I took my soul out of my body so that the decaying of my body wouldn't impact the safety of my soul and therefore I couldn't die. Let's say that that's our D&D how natural death occurs.
The soul only dies because it's attached to the body, and when freed from the body, it realizes it can live forever.
Yeah, if you could find a way to pull the soul out of the body and put it in something where it is protected, then the soul is fucking safe.
Right, the soul is tricked into thinking the body never decays.
But then you also have to build in a bunch of infrastructure to connect that object to the body so that the body doesn't realize it's dead. That's one of the first hurdles. Anybody, like, it might even be a first level spell to yank the soul out of your own body. The end effect of that spell sucks.
It's always a potion, too, which I find interesting. Like, no matter what edition it is, the last act is always drinking some concoction that's really difficult to make.
But when you run through the bits and pieces of a lich, like, I don't see anything that should require permanent these constant sacrifices. Like, getting your own soul into a box, making sure that box has some weird arcane circuitry that rigs it back into your body so that your body doesn't forget that it's alive, and then... you are effectively turning yourself into a zombie, except it's attached to the soul over there, so your body can still function intelligently. If a zombie doesn't require constant sacrifice, why does the lich require constant sacrifice?
Right. It's those two ideas that are in conflict. Like, either if you want power, then you grind people into bones. If you want to not die, you don't necessarily need that.
If you just want to not die, that feels like a thing you could just rig if you're a powerful enough wizard.
That is the problem with liches. Like, there are so many just like magic ways. You're like, well, I can just live forever. I can just keep taking potions of rejuvenation, or there's so many ways to dial back time that, hell, you could just become an elf. I mean, you could just polymorph yourself into an elf. Like, there's options as opposed to becoming Scary Skeleton Man.
Yeah, that being a scary skeleton is the worst way.
If you were a regular ass wizard and just found a vampire and you were like, hey, I will give you half my grant money for this year if you bite me real good. That's a better undead to be. You didn't have to make a deal with Orcus. You could have made a deal with fucking Vlad down the street.
We are talking about a setting in an imaginary game. I can think of 10 things right now that I could do that were more interesting than be turned into Skeleton Man. Like, again, deal with a kiss a vampire, deal with a god, stumbling into an ancient city and seeing what they have going on down there. Like, any number of items with various curse, or getting cursed by an item, but you want the curse. And then there's a lot of weird things about, like, do we uncurse the person who wants the curse? Like, that's pretty cool.
I like the idea if the curse is bad for most people, and this is one person who's gotten away with it, but the problem is that the curse will only break, like, you can only destroy the item that generates the curse if it's not entangled to any ongoing curses. It's like trying to access your camera while another app has it open. Like, you can't... Sorry, we can't destroy this. It's currently invulnerable because it's protected by the life force of someone who's, like, directly sort of wound up in it, so you have to kill that guy first. And once you've shut down that process,
you gotta find the little USB icon and make sure it's ejected.
Okay, now we're coming around that, like, if it's not called a phylactery, if it's just your soul in a box, wouldn't that be so much more interesting if it was like a vase and the vase can't be broken? If it breaks, you die because your soul's in it, but the vase is keeping your soul so you never age. It's almost like it's a Dorian Gray situation.
And I love the idea that you'd become obsessed with it. Like, yes, you could hide it away. You could, but you can't. You have to see it. You have to touch it. You have to keep bringing it out of its protective case. You have to keep pulling it out of the extra dimensional space because you're just so obsessed you can't help it.
Or even, like, I'm worried it's gonna get broken. Oh, yeah, I know it's in my bag of holding that I put in my pocket space, but, like, what if someone comes through there and breaks it and then I die? Like, you need to imagine, like, I need to have my vase 10 feet. I need to see the vase at all times. I need to touch it. I need to.
This is just me with ADHD. This is just me having to have everything out on open shelves, or I'll forget that it's there in a doom box. I would literally be the lich who's like,
Where is my
phylactery? It has to be out on a shelf or I'll lose it.
This is the character who doesn't become a lich because they're a villain, but becomes a villain because they're a lich. You put your soul in a box, and then you're like, well, fuck, I need to make sure this is safe. I need to build a giant fortress. Well, God, this is really castle-shaped, and I do need guards. I guess this is a castle now. Okay, now that that's protected, and my guards can be trusted, no one outside the castle can be trusted. I guess I should dominate this entire landscape. Okay, I guess I'm going to take over the world. I'm going to take over the world, and then my phylactery will be fine.
Okay, guys, can we just, like, take it down a few notches? It's okay that the heroes came through here. Yeah, a few people died. We'll get the clerics on it. It's fine. What did they take? They took the sword. That's fine. They took all of our gold. That's fine. Wait. Wait. Where's the book? Where's the book?
Where's the sugar bowl? Where is the encrusted emerald sugar bowl?
Well, now I'm gonna have to kill somebody. Aram, what's going on? Why is all of our stuff in boxes?
Good news, Dylan! Dead Ghost Productions is moving.
What do you mean moving?
We're separating our patrons and launching a new Dead Ghost page to provide our listeners with more content and a clean RSS feed for all their podcasts. Stacy is helping us out with the heavy stuff.
She's a bit clumsy.
Okay, so that makes sense, sort of. What about the people who have already subscribed?
I've got it handled. Everyone who is currently subscribed to our Dead Ghost Productions level or our combined feeds level will get a free month once we split the feeds on June 1st. If you're signed up for a yearly subscription, you'll get just as many free months on our new Dead Ghost feed as you currently have left on that subscription.
Okay, so what do people have to do in order to make the switch?
It's easy. Everyone will get a link to activate their free subscription sent directly to their email. They just need to follow that link to the new Dead Ghost patron and they'll be all set. The changes won't start until June 1st, and if anyone has questions about it, they can email us at killeverymonster@gmail.com or deadghostproductions@gmail.com. They can also message us directly in Patreon.
Okay, this better not interfere with my experiments, Vardian.
Don't worry, Dylan. I've told Stacy to stay clear of your laboratory. How do we safely power down the nuclear generator again?
Aram, what was that?
Good news. I found a dragon.
No, you didn't. Dragons aren't real, Aram.
Oh, they are quite real, Dylan. And very clumsy.
All right, I'll play. Why did you bring a dragon here?
What better way to promote Kill Every Monster than with an actual dragon? We may need to pump up the Patreon just a little.
For $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they're released. For $5, you'll get them early along with audio DMs notes featuring Aram and I discussing how we made each episode.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DMs notes along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we have left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 patron tiers are available with a 7-day free trial for new subscribers. So head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want another free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster.
So I know what we're dealing with. Aram, like, what? Yeah, what level character do you have?
I have Veldani, who is a tiefling paladin, level 16. And she is on a quest of vengeance.
Do you know what you're getting vengeance for?
She was sucked into Avernus with a bunch of other tieflings, and as she got pulled down, she was so angry. She was so resentful. She wanted so much retribution against these outside forces that she had no control over. And Helm was like, that's useful, and made her one of his paladins in hell. So she ended up fighting through hell and helping get people out. And when she got back, she never relaxed. She's like, who's the next fucker who's messing with things and taking advantage of people that I can go take out?
So your paladin is xenophobia. Got it.
No, it's not.
Here's
about
an outside force that
Dylan,
I can't. No.
Dylan, fantasy is metaphor.
I have a paladin who was hurt by an external force, and now I'm so angry that I manifested divine smite to stop external forces from being exerted on my life, and now I found a Jewish-coded villain who's clearly influencing the way the world works around me.
No.
So, just on a blind guess, I'm going to say, Eric, the undead kingdom you have is literally just a kingdom where undead live.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I think so. It's like, so if you're from Avernus, there's probably various hells, or there are various places that people go when they die, right? There's a lot happening. There's human, where humans go, and where dwarf goes, and elves go.
Funnily enough, there's not that many places where bad people go, or non-devout bad people. So to my knowledge, for Forgotten Realms stuff, I got way too into this for a little while back in my bachelor's degree when I had, you know, time. If you are religious and good at it, you go to your respective heaven for your god. If not, if you are generic person number 32B, you go to the area around Kelimvor's palace in the Plain of the Dead, and then one of like three things happen. You either live there and it's effectively purgatory. If you are specifically someone who was heretical, like anti-theist, they put you in a fucking wall.
Oh, you become tile.
No, you become bricks. You don't build a wall out of tiles. So there's regular purgatory where you're waiting outside the gates, and then there's bad times purgatory where you are the gates. And then sometimes the devils will show up and do negotiations with the plane of the dead and be like, listen, we can work on this one. I'm going to need like 60, 70 souls.
Well, here's the thing. I've never played a pre-written adventure before, so I don't care about any of that.
Yeah.
Here's what's happening.
Nope. Just giving you the point of context.
I appreciate it, Dylan. I appreciate it.
What the nerds expect.
It's appreciated. Here's what's happening.
Yeah.
Is that, you know how you've noticed how, like, it becomes a different season every week? Turns out, the Raven Queen and blim blim blop... And all the other death gods are busy dealing with some other stuff. It might be Fimbulwinter, probably. I think that might be what it is, which is the season that happens right before Ragnarok. It might be one of the. It might be that.
Might be the opposite of it, because if the gods of death are busy, then it might just be spring still.
But they might be. They're dealing with stuff. Like there's a whole. There's a power struggle happening, and the weapons are and the magical weapons are in the wrong place, and people are trying to figure out who's running what's happening here. But what I'm trying to say is there's a backup of souls right now here on the material plane. They're floating around. They're getting into items. They're getting into TVs and chairs and books, and they're flying them all around. So it turns out they needed a place to go. You know the ruins of that civilization we don't talk about anymore? Turns out perfectly good to start a new city. And that's what I did.
So are you the solution to the problem then? Like, there was this problem. A different necromancer caused a problem that didn't let souls pass on, and they started getting amassed in different shit.
Oh, it wasn't necromancers. It was the Templars of Light.
Of course. Regardless, there is an issue with souls passing on, and it was you, the Lich, built. We're like, well, if they keep possessing your shit, I don't know. I can just build a kingdom over there, and we can just put the dead folks in it, and then we just have a regular ass kingdom full of dead guys.
It's called Evermist. If you're trying to envision it, it's like Buffalo, New York.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We get a lot of snow because it's on the lake, but also devoted to the bills.
Right, feels like an eternity just from being inside it. No, I know, I gotcha. Yeah.
Absolutely not. I will not besmirch the good people of Buffalo, New York. Absolutely not. There's a rich barbecue culture because it's far away from the places where it is. You gotta just do whatever you want. So Evermist, we're hanging out, and it turns out, you don't live for 1,000 years without reading The Power Broker about Robert Moses. And because that thing's long, that's like 700 pages. And Robert Moses' biography. And I've learned a lot about what city planning actually should be. So it turns out it's all working. Evermist has been up and running with plenty of denizens growing by the day. It just so happens that all of them died before.
Right.
And it's working.
We can't have that.
I know. And it's working. It's working.
Yeah. No, but it's a working system that no one can really, you know, pull out money or labor from. It's just not working.
I mean, we have buses. It's just they're free.
Free? Oh, now we got to go smite you.
They're free buses. No, Evermist is working. We have a new magnet school for arts.
I'm going to try to narrate you into this. Eric, contradict me as you see fit, because I'm going to try to work something into you. I'm going to try to get the external of your fiction so that we can get him in as an angry person.
Evermist, you got to go through the Eternal Forest. But before you get to the Long Sea, it's in between the Long Sea and the Wide Sea. That's but on where it's on the Long Sea, because that's where we get the lake effect snow.
There's the Forever Road past the Long Sea through the Eternal Forest. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. It's over there. Yeah, just so you know. Dylan, just so you know. Just so you know.
Aram, you spent a long time questing. A lot of adventurers like to kind of appropriate the term questing, but when you give yourself a quest, is it really a quest? That's just a fucking adventurer.
More of a hunt.
A god sent you. That's a quest. You have been questing since your return from...
How do I know?
How do I know that it's Helm and not just me? Like, what's the signal I get?
So
what's the god signal?
Helm is the watcher. He's a god of protection. So it is legitimately a glow of your shield.
Yeah, he's not subtle.
No,
yeah.
This is straight up. There is a helmet engraved on the front of your shield. It's not like big sticking out. It's just a bit of a relief. And the eyes will glow and it will speak to you. And it sends you in direct.
It's a voicemail.
You're not talking back to Helm. He's the watcher, not the listener.
No, he just leaves a message. Yeah.
So you've gone on many quests to the point where I think you've sort of figured out the things to look for. Helm has not sent you on a quest in a while, but you've noticed something. There is a fear among the populace in general of demons and devils and people making deals and them taking your soul after you die. And something that you've noticed is lately in these border towns near the edges of the Eternal Forest, there are salesmen. Now, they're not selling shit as far as you can tell. They are going around and making offers. They are orienting souls. These people are basically having someone come to them and make them the offer of, you know how when you die, sometimes you turn into a ghost and it's bad because it's unfinished business? And you have to really choose. Do you want to have like unfinished business and eternal torment but be on the material plane? Or you can go to an afterlife and never see your loved ones again? What if I just gave you a place you could move and be a happy ghost?
So they're like soul hunters? They're like headhunters for souls?
And as far as you can tell from the stories you've been told, they seem to be making a deal that is too good to be true. They are offering what you can at best describe as a replacement for the afterlife that is a retirement home.
Right. Okay.
What if instead of dying, we sent you somewhere where you could play shuffleboard?
Right.
You'll still die, but like you won't have to like abandon the material, you know?
It's better than just shuffleboard, though. It's like everything. It's everything. What if you just keep... Listen, what are you going to do?
It's purgatory in a nice font.
Do you want to try some courses at the university? We got some of the greatest thinkers out there because they died. So now they can teach.
Okay, so the obvious first step would be to find one of these salesmen.
So the thing is, one of the problems you've run into is anytime you corner them and you get that sort of holy light working, they leave a standard dead guy suit in their wake and just poof. These are definitely, after the third or fourth time you've tried to capture these people and interrogate them, they're super dead. They're ghosts.
Right.
They're ghosts that are hunting more souls.
Okay. Do they have pamphlets?
They do. They're also ghosts.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no. Ghost pamphlets?
Like,
oh, they, ghost soul like, pamphlets.
You've managed to get one where they give you the pamphlet and you start flipping through and you feel that, like, holy rage bubble and the shield starts to glow. And then they go, like, there's the moment of, oh, fuck. And the people just, boom, and the pamphlet,
right. Poofs.
And it's like,
Helm cannot be cool, man. Just be cool for 5 minutes, Helm.
It's honestly debatable whether it's you or Helm.
Hey, Aram, can you remind me your character's name?
It is Veldani.
Hey, Veldani, can you make a intelligence saving throw for a second?
Sure, I could do that. There's a +4, which gives me, oh, a 17 plus 4 is 21.
Okay, cool, fine. Whatever.
Okay.
All right. Fine.
Fine. Be that way. Make saves, dickhead.
As this most recent pamphlet bites me and then scurries off. Like, oh. Right.
Oh, yeah. God, they're absolutely haunted. They scurry off and then it turns out that they, again, are also ghosts and just sort of dissipate into the air. And at least one time you've gotten in on this before, like, someone got the talk from the ghosts, took the pamphlet, you interacted with the ghost, then the pamphlets all disappear, and you've just got one angry villager behind you. Like, that sounded cool.
They just fold themselves into little paper airplanes and fly out the window. Like a comfort! Oh!
I like how delightfully twee my creations are. This is wonderful.
Hey, listen, you lined it up as a place that actually works. you're not going to have like these savage, monstrous people. Like, you won't go to heaven. You'll come here with us.
Yeah, this is the island of misfit toys, but for souls. That's how I'm seeing it.
Yeah. Listen, you were describing realtors before.
Yeah.
I think they are, in fact, savage monsters. Ooh.
To be fair.
Ooh. Ooh.
All
right.
So, it's realtors, but all they're doing is giving away free land. So it's actually not so bad.
You can live in a deluxe apartment in the sky if you don't have a body. It's super easy.
So this is where we stand, is you have managed to, via a collaboration with a wizard that you once did an adventure with. He keeps calling it a quest.
I am on a quest from God. There are no others.
Yeah. He managed to help you basically build something that soul binds the pamphlet.
Like a trapper keeper.
You know the cases people used to put their Pokemon cards in?
Yes. It's a little sleeve.
You've got one of those. Every time you want to look at a different leaf of the pamphlet, you have to like take it out, flip it, and put it back in real quick.
Right.
But you've managed to secure the pamphlet that is telling you essentially where Eric, it's called Evermist. Yeah,
Evermist. Yes,
it's lost several pages, but it does have the cartoon map on the back with like a "you are here."
Yeah, we a lot of graphic designers have unrested souls. So we were able to make it super clear. Yeah, super clear. It's beautiful. You can buy it at the merch store.
It looks like a Disney map.
Yeah, it's a Disney map.
That's why they are ghosts, is these pamphlets need to be able to interact with the soul after the person has died and help them get there. So the pamphlet also has to be a ghost. Otherwise, you know, newly manifested ghosts, very uncoordinated, can't turn pages, not good at navigation, tend to just haunt bookshelves and shit. So,
or bad items of furniture.
Yeah.
Like some guy decided to haunt a bath mat and that was a bad decision. Mm-hmm.
It also makes it really easy to like get rid of them because at least haunt something heavy.
Right, throw away a bath mat. Yeah.
It's one pissed off trash collector, but otherwise it's fine. So, Aram, this is one of the first times, I think, that you've taken it upon yourself to do an adventure. Where you are trying to call the shots of Helm.
It's not an adventure. I am furthering the quest I have always been on.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. This is a quest, not an adventure.
Yes.
Because it's you.
This is the quest.
The quest.
Not an adventure.
I apologize.
Thank you.
It's not a trivial trek to get there. There's passing through an endless forest, trying to basically pass yourself through the veil between life and death, but like not get all the way through it, because then you'll just get to death, and that's not where this is. Like the shimmery space before death starts, it is on the material plane in the same location as other stuff. Does that make sense?
It is alongside the things that are.
Yes. It doesn't occupy the same space. It's just in the same place. Doesn't have to make sense. It's magic. Fuck you. So.
Right.
You've done this grand adventure.
Yes.
Eric, what do the outskirts of Evermist look like?
Honestly, I think it's just like spread. It's what I imagine upstate New York to be. It just like, I think this really is just a city. I think that this is like farms, and every so often you see a house, and maybe there's a train that goes by that comes through and picks people up. It's a commuter train that picks people up into the city. And it's just like, farms and people who need more space to figure out the thing that they want to do. Like maybe, you know, they have a, is like an antiques picker picker shop where people can find like old chairs and like big rusted billboards and things that they can put in their houses and bring back into the city. And you know, there's
a bunch of possession ghosts who are just like hermit crabbing from one item to the next and just looking for the next antique wardrobe they can haunt.
Yeah. It's a big, do you know how hard it is to find a card catalog that someone isn't already using? It's very, very difficult. And maybe, you know, there's auto body shops and there's like solar pan, people fiddling with solar panels and massive gardens and just like an entire thing, just like bucolic chickens and cows and geese everywhere. Like it's nice. And I love this pissed off paladin angrily stomping through Beacon, New York.
This is operating in a place that maybe this is part of why it's such an odd place, is it's interacting with the soul of the land, not the material of it. These are a bunch of people where, like, you know, the standard thing people keep saying, the usual indicator of I'm talking to a giant asshole. If people don't want to work these days, no one would farm if they had a choice. Lots of people. This place is the demonstration that millions of people would farm given a choice. They just wouldn't farm your crops. They wouldn't farm corn so that you could make plastics. They would farm the food they wanted. These are beautiful rolling pastures.
I love the idea, you know, when they say that a house has good bones, is like we keep the bones of the house and you just keep moving things around as much as you want, like literally move the bones, stay where you can kind of like rearrange the house and everything.
This is the place where like all the houses that were torn down, but oh, it has good bones, like that house's soul is still there. There are people living in it.
Yeah, there's not a shiplap in sight. No minimalist beige anywhere. No one's flipping these houses. You're not going to do them to sell them. You just do exactly what you want with it, and you can live in it however you'd like.
So, upon seeing this, upon basically leaving what would be a pretty standard fantasy world, you know, riding in on this horse, and then immediately a commuter train goes past you. A semi-spectral commuter train loaded up with ghosts and undead.
This is the Harlem Line. Next stop, New Bedford, Outer Evermiss, 125th Street, and then extremely Grand Central.
Just getting more pissed off at the more infrastructure I see.
Yeah, Helm would hate infrastructure. Helm's a dick.
Well, though, Helm likes bridges and gates.
Listen, if it can't be guarded, I don't want fucking none of it. Subways? How am I supposed to watch that?
Who's guarding a train?
Put a bridge there.
If the train goes over a bridge, he's a little happy.
Here's my grand question. We're going to cut forward to you kind of middle of town. I think, and again, Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you could basically go wherever the fuck you want, unimpeded, as long as you are not actively trying to kill the ghosts around you, because they are all doing their own shit. Everyone here has, for lack of a better word, very full lives.
Right, they're all actually incredibly helpful. Like, by the time I get to the town, a square, someone's polished my armor, someone has sewn a hole in my cloak.
Do you know how often we get new things to fix?
Right.
There's something so therapeutic about just sharpening a blade.
And at first I'm like, you know, like they start tugging on it and I start tugging back, but then I realize they're being helpful, so I kind of just let it happen.
Just a kindly old man just holding your sword, then inhabiting your sword and sharpening himself. Gets out, hands it back to you.
Someone's inside the wet wheel. Someone's inside. Yeah.
Everything is possessed.
It's like Flintstones, but they're possessed instead of animals.
And the sword says, it's a living.
Yeah.
When you get to Town Square, did you walk?
Who's not going to ride a train?
Helm didn't like the train. I don't like the train.
The hard part is that you, because you're so focused, you nearly get hit by the electric cable cars that are going by.
First, I thought it was like a challenge, and then I realized, no, I'm just on the tracks.
Yeah, it is true that they are going 10 miles per hour faster than they would have, but it's like when you don't have a body, you can kind of just whip around those corners.
Also, I really don't have a reference for how fast trains are supposed to go. So as far as I know, this is train speed.
We got to hope that Aram dies by the end of it, because otherwise he's getting back to like the land of the living and going like, we cannot allow trains to be.
Yes, I'll be the reason that we don't develop trains.
Too fast on the corners.
The rest of my oath of vengeance is just against public transportation.
Dire subway. It could even live above ground.
I like the idea of they're diving like sea monsters up and down through the city.
Oh, there's no greater threat than light rail.
So you take this trek on foot, and there are multiple times where, you know, a guy inside of your cloak, as he sews himself, points out, like, you know, the train would be faster.
I'm aware of your shortcuts.
The thing that we have to tell you is that if you get a lich card, it's actually 50% cheaper. That's the thing they don't tell you.
Yes, there are many ways to gain the mark of the beast.
Like, if you actually move here, it comes as part of the welcome package. I'm just saying, like, you should go
get... I will not be moving into your cursed lands. I am here on a quest.
I will have to say, because you're walking, you do see... Every 10 blocks or so, there is a statue. There is
Absolutely.
A statue. Come on. Come on.
Sometimes the statues are pointing to the other statues and like,
hey.
They're all of me. There's of me doing various things, like me taking a kitten down from a tree, like me, yes, I am pointing to a different statue, but it's just to triangulate a certain square or a certain triangle.
Eric, you're not allowed to use colors because I'm assuming these are all in like vaguely spectral marble.
Yeah. Yes.
Knowing that limitation, please describe your lich, and if you have one, give us the name.
It's true. Carved into the bottom of every pedestal, this is Shaban the Ever. Is like, Shaban saves a kitten. This is like Putt-Putt Goes to the Moon style titling.
Sure.
It's like Shaban at the circus. Shaban opening a school. And I do think we do get a classic lich. I think that Shaban is... of indeterminate gender as their human flesh and secondary sex characteristics have fallen off at this point. It's lots of bones, very, very spectral in a classic way. I think that I do have a flowing robe, if only to give the sculptors of the spectral marble
something to do
and something to work on.
Also, it's easier to have the cloak connect all the bones instead of just having the bones there as a statue. You had to make some concessions.
Something that Shaban has never told anyone is that one of the artifacts of becoming a lich is the fat rots off, but your body still wants to be warm.
Yeah, you gotta
have heavy
robes. Like, they're flannel lined. Because it's the lake effect snow, too. It gets cold. Yeah. So
yeah, you got a little fur at the top.
Yeah, flannel. Like,
you're just a lich that walks around in furs. It's just full fur coats.
It's like, I'm cold.
There's a little bit of me sitting here going like, there are these huge flowing robes on all of the statues. And when you get in and you meet the lich, he's wearing a house coat.
I'm wearing a tank top, a fleece lined hoodie, and like jeans with flannel on the inside.
Little fingerless gloves like I do because your joints always lock
up. My circulation is terrible, I'll tell you that much. flowing robes. I do like, if you're looking at, because I do have the stat block up, the tradition, I think this might be Vecna, or maybe it's just another lich, but the robe is open at the chest, so you see rib cage. I fucking love that. I'm keeping that shit. That's awesome.
I like the idea of like one of the statues is Shaban pointing towards like this wheelchair ramp and all this accessibility that was built in, and ghosts meanwhile are just passing through it, just straight through the walls and through the doors.
Shaban builds non-essential accessibility.
Elevators that no one uses.
God, that's Shaban. That's Shaban the Ever.
So I would stand there for a few minutes and look at all of the different statues and be like, I suspect he's important.
Yeah, he's great. You know, he built everything. They're real helpful, actually, when you're trying to get oriented.
Yeah, you can do an arcana check if you want to figure out if I'm the lich or not.
Yeah, sure, why not? Wait, I have a +0. Let's see what happens. Roll another 17.
Eric, I just sent a link that has the image of new D&D Vecna. It's more revealing.
Oh my god, yeah, Vecna. This is like Yassified Lich. It's Vecna. This is wild.
Those arm ribbons are particular.
Yeah, they really are arm ribbons, huh?
They really are.
Man, I don't think I've ever seen this photo.
It's a really good design for Vecna, especially with the book hidden inside the rib cage. I like that detail quite a lot.
Oh, I do like
that. The arm ribbons are a little suspect.
Also, the golden hand, you know, the replacement of the...
Yeah, I like it. It's just the ribbons. Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Yeah. Again, this is what happened. You just kind of do whatever, and then you make something whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho, Aram, what was that Arcana check?
Oh, that was... I rolled another 17. So 17 plus 0 is 17.
You can, in fact, identify a stereotypical... Big flowing robes, definitely a lich.
Yes, I believe this might be the lich I'm looking for. And then down on the plaque, it says, Shaban became a lich in the year 1232.
Yeah, there's...
Yes, all signs point towards this.
You walk to the statue that's like Shaban in different stages of turning into a lich.
There's literally like 7 of them in a row, like the evolution of man.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, this is exactly what I'm thinking about. Yeah, they're walking.
All right, so at that point, I believe I would activate my divine sense and start just wham, wham.
Aram, I have to do this description.
I read it this time. Hang on. As an action, I can detect good or evil until the end of my next turn. You can sense anything affected by the hollow spell or know the location of any celestial fiend undead within 60 feet that is not behind total cover.
Dylan, if this makes your life easier, the roll that I made before, I was trying to scry and I failed. So honestly, the fact that I'm getting a ping... that I got pinged, I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, we got something, great.
No, what I was going to say is the way I describe this, I have to do relatively frequently on this show, but I don't think it's ever been more warranted. Your divine sense turns on, and you can immediately see, lit up in your vision, the location of every undead within 60 feet, Aram. You are immediately blinded.
Well, thank God, there's Christmas tree lights, sure, but there's a star on top of the tree that shines brighter than all the others.
Okay, you're right. But also, if I took every Christmas light on the fucking thing and I put them immediately adjacent to each other and I just had a giant brick of only the bulbs and I turned all of them on at once, it would be glaring.
I suppose. There's no like dimmer switch I can do on this thing.
There is like over the course of the effect of this spell ability, whatever, you can get a handle on it, but like the immediate effect is you just said, show me the undead in a city of the dead.
At this point, I take off my flannel lined hoodie and I put on my formal robes.
As you're looking around and there is a moment where you mutter something about finding the lich, and someone just tells you, oh, it's a Thursday, and it's before 4, so he should just be at Town Hall.
Show me this Town Hall.
Oh, if you just follow, and gestures towards one of the statues, and it's the lich saying, Shaban decides where they're going to put Town Hall.
Town Hall this way, yeah. It's just like a Walt Disney-esque statue of them surveying and pointing vaguely into the distance.
Mickey Mouse also at my feet.
You get Shaban with like a little fucking lens up to their eye, Shaemon decides that the ground is in fact level enough to begin construction of Town Hall, and it's just standing like two
Shaemon's
blocks.
Shaemon's got a little hard hat on.
Next to that is like, Shaemon did a full ecological study to make sure that the building of Town Hall didn't disturb any nature that was there already.
With like three small geese, like little baby geese around them.
They're dead.
I'm listening intently to what scientists are telling me.
All these dead scientists with beakers. Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell they're dead scientists because they're wearing lab coats and also skeletons.
I do really like the idea of a bunch of undead scientists really concerned about preserving, you know, an endangered species.
Listen, just because we're dead doesn't mean anybody else has to be.
Half of them are like, we could just make them undead. No, that's the easy way out. That is the no, we're not doing that this time.
If it happens, it happens. We don't interfere. Leave no trace.
This is our last resort plan. Sure, we've used it the last 7 times, but it's a last resort.
That's why we're moving Town Hall. That's why we're doing this study.
There's just an undead dodo and an undead black rhino and an just all lined up.
Yeah, there's an undead dodo and the regular geese.
And there's just 3 normal geese because they couldn't let go.
There's an undead saber-toothed tiger chewing on an undead goose, and the undead goose just seems upset.
I'm petting it in the statue still. Man, Shaemon's awesome. Love this fucking dude. Love this guy.
I hope Aram's character dies more than usual. I don't think he deserves to win. So you find Town Hall. Shaemon should describe Town Hall, please.
I think Town Hall looks like an Apple store. I think it's worth devoting the bullshit technological view of minimalism, at least to the place that needs it the most, which is civic duty. If things need to work, I need a clean place to work. I need a bunch of whiteboards, tiny glass walls to use Expo markers on.
Nothing says government transparency like all glass walls.
Absolutely. And if I'm going to make it work, I want it to be as sleek as possible. I'm letting everyone know that I'm on the case. And if anyone wants to help, they can just float on through.
I mean, everyone can just pass through the walls anyway, so making them glass is kind of symbolic.
Yeah, especially, yeah, so I can write on the wall. It's mostly so I can write on the walls, honestly. I'm really enjoying that. Yeah, it's like a lot of glass walls, a lot of screens. Maybe they're superfluous, maybe they're silly, but again, it's more about the metaphor that things are getting done here.
Right, because no one actually writes on a glass wall. It's impossible to actually use, but if you want a camera shot through it to the guy writing, it works great.
Exactly. And here's the thing. It's also massive. And also, there's a bunch of statues of me inside and outside.
It's the corners of the building are pillars, and the pillars are Shaemon holding up the next floor.
You absolutely know it. Listen, if I'm going to be a lich, this is my one vice. My one vice is a little vanity as I'm helping everyone else. Just a little bit, a smidge, a touch.
You gotta have a hobby, and Shaemon's is sculpting.
Well, Shaemon's is hiring sculptors.
Yeah, yes. Well, yeah. My hobby
Shaemon's
is hiring.
Is public transit.
That is definitely Shaemon's hobby. They have the largest scale model of this place, and they have a little piece for everything. Every tree, every lamppost has a perfect little representation.
And you know how it's so hard to find good people, which is why I use ZipRecruiter to find jobs for all of my ghosts.
Rip Recruiter, RIP, that's what it is.
Yeah, there you go.
So Veldani comes up to Town Hall. The first floor is largely just administration, making, you know, telling everybody where they need to be.
I get a little sticker that says visitor with my name on it.
The entire second floor, from the outside, you can see the fucking lich, just all the audacity of the world, standing there, surveying the scale model of town, just occasionally, moving stuff.
You can also see I'm wearing like Converse sneakers. I'm wearing black Converse high tops. So you just like see my rubber soles. You see like the rubber soles, and you're getting a really weird angle of me in my robes. And you're getting a lot of
pelvis,
a lot of xiphoid process.
Well, I will look up and I'll be like, okay, well,
that's them. And I will just walk into the main lobby.
Excuse me, ma'am, do you have an appointment?
See, now what Helm does like is Helm likes processes. Helm likes checkpoints and processes, so I can't just walk by. Otherwise, I'd probably be stripped of my paladin abilities.
Excuse me, hon, do you have an appointment?
I'm more of a walk-in.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us what this drop-in is regarding?
Ah, yes, it is regarding a conversation I wish to have with, and I would look over at the lich statue near me, because there's going to be one.
Shaban holds up the second story of the building.
Shaban, with Shaban.
Oh, yes. Can you give some clarity upon where you're coming from? I can only ask, because it seems like you do have your corporeal form.
Yes. You see, and he like looks at the form, and it's got name, and he writes down name, time check-in, writes down that, reason for visit. I have come from hell to avenge all.
All right. Okay, good. Well, why don't you sit in the waiting area for a moment, and I'll bring this in and see if Shaman has an opening.
There's a couple uncomfortable chairs with wooden arms, and I survey them for a moment, and I pick the one high top, and I sit there.
You go to sit on it, the chair levitates slightly and, like, sits with you. A head pokes out of the side and goes, hey, so you new here?
And even though it levitates slightly, it still somehow has one wonky leg. I'm not used to talking to things I'm sitting on, so it's a little bit disconcerting, but I'm like, yes.
You can open up a highlights magazine where it says, spot the differences, we're in different places.
She likes those, actually, so she's kind of looking through it, yeah.
Yeah. Going inside, brings a clipboard in, flings a clipboard into Shaban's office, where Shaban is trying to just work out how to get more trees per capita into the square without it looking too stupid or too much like, so that people don't get confused and they're back in the everlasting forest.
Oh, Darlene, thank you so much. Okay, Valdani from hell. Oh, this was the ping from earlier. Okay. Yeah, give me like 60 seconds and let him in. And then after like 5 minutes, if you're like, could you like bring me like double like latte? I forgot to make cold brew this morning. It's like, that's not me. You could, I know that's not your job. You do all the administrative stuff, but like, I'm so swamped right now. I got this walk-in, please.
Oh yeah, sure, hon, absolutely.
Like, oh my God, thank you. You're a lifesaver. Thank you.
Shaban still uses that phrase.
Lifesaver?
Constantly. The staff at large has generally accepted that they're never gonna be able to get them to stop.
I go over to my desk and I take out a velvet bag and I reveal a jade vase, which is just deep, 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 deep green with some cracks through it, like filled in with gold. And I shine it. And then I put it back and lock it in my desk. And I also take out the power broker, the biography of Robert Moses, which I have had covered in Robert Moses' skin.
Sure, of course.
made out of his flesh. And I'm flipping through it. I've doodled some spells in the margins just in case. And that's when Darlene lets Valdani in.
At any point during look at all of these statues, did I see this item? Did I see where the witch keeps where the lich keeps their soul? Okay, so there's no representation of it anywhere.
Not.
Okay,
I would say that you would know functionally that probably my soul is somewhere else. My soul is somewhere, but no.
That you have someone somewhere, yeah.
I think that's like the one thing I keep to myself is where the jade vase is.
So I don't know it's a jade vase is the question.
That's a good question. Dylan, what do you think? We could do some checks to see what research you've done, but like I don't know.
This is the thing is I think the reason you know this is a lich in the first place is because you saw the statue that said...
Oh, right, I forgot.
Shaban goes through the process of becoming a lich. which did in fact have Shaban opening a small box that's engineered to glow, basically like the suitcase from fucking Pulp Fiction.
Right.
And casting spells into it, no indication of what was in the box.
Got it. The question I would have, is that enough to cast locate object?
Absolutely not.
Fair enough.
Just unequivocally, no.
All right, so I guess I would wait, maybe get a water or a coffee.
You're led into this room, this massive city planning room, where there's that scale model of the city. There are, you know, notes scrawled on the glass walls all over the place. And there is a lich, just a corpse, leaned up against their desk, flipping through a copy of The Power Broker by Robert Moses.
No, it's a biography of Robert.
It's a I assumed autobiography, but that was attributing too much credit to Robert Moses.
No. All right. No, The Power of, by Robert A. Caro, classic.
Oh, sorry. I was just catching up on some reading that I do. I had gotten a ping at some point, and now I realize who the ping is. So it's so good to see you. It seems like from your demeanor and from your whole visage and wonderful gleaming, what's that smell? Avernus touched outfit. You might be here to come talk to me, violently, of course. But I think that by the time that we're done talking, you might have a better sense of this whole thing, and you can figure out what exactly your quest really, really means. Because I don't think it's me.
Shaban, there is a slight crashing noise below you, and you look over and you see a very embarrassed looking ghost standing there as if they were holding something, and a mug that has a latte in it smashed on the floor of the first floor. They clearly just tried to like hover up
and
through,
just knocked out their hands and fell straight
forgot
down.
Forgot that they had a material.
Darlene, it's fine. Give me another one. It's fine.
Of course.
I shouldn't have asked in the first place. It's not your job. It's fine. So, how can I help you?
Vildani nods and strides forward until they're in front of your desk, and then lifts their hand to their chest, touches the little shield emblem on their chest, and casts Zone of Truth.
What's my saving throw?
Charisma 17.
Lovely. Again, I wish that at least my intelligence is working. My charisma should be higher, but I got +3. Oh, that's a nat 20, baby.
Nice.
Oh, a Zone of Truth. Of course. Yeah. You don't know me. I don't know you. Fair. I'm an open book. Whatever you want. I'm here. I'm talking. We're open. Now, first, introduce who are you? You seem to know me. Who are you?
My name is Veldani, and I require one thing from you, and that is to relinquish the power that you have stolen.
Stolen? What were they doing? What do you mean stolen? When you leave something at the bus stop and you don't come back for 3 days for it, is it stealing? No! You didn't want it in the first place. That's why I seem that the Raven Queen left a lot of people at the bus stop. And Blimpleblorp, of course, who's always getting up to some sort of tricks on top of Mount Schmolympus, is that they seem to be left quite a number of people at the bus stop. I don't think I stole anything.
I am not talking about these wayward souls. Wayward souls will collect where they will. And I see that you have tried to make a society here. But what you have done, what you have stolen, goes beyond this realm, into the realm of the gods, where you should not have tread.
You know how hard it is to find loyal employees? It's wild. Obviously, You have benefits, even the best salary you want, but, you know, ultimately they're going to follow their path. But this, you're loyal. You're loyal. You care. You really care. It just seems that it's misguided. What did I take? What is this? What do you mean?
And I walk over to the very tidy scale model with, of course, and I kind of like move because the three tiny scale model statues aren't pointing to each other in the way that they should. So I rearrange them.
And I think there's a little bit more. I think you're underselling these souls. I mean, congregate where they were. They congregate what's best for them. If people aren't taking them to where they need to go, then they're just waiting for a bus that never shows up.
Or perhaps you're just filling them with simple amusements to distract and keep them here for your own purposes.
Now, which one of us is the one living life incorrectly? Simple amusements? That sounds like the best parts of doing this whole thing.
She pauses for a moment because the idea of someone becoming a lich just because they want to have like one more live, laugh, love day wasn't something that they had planned on like figuring out. So that does take them back for a moment, but they shake it off. Like, look, I am sure you have justified this to yourself 1,000 ways. You have the time. But I have the truth, and you have run afoul of it.
Who said what truth?
And then she just, as soon as you say that, like, her eyes light up and she turns and like this single beam of light finds her somehow through the glass wall. The one God, the protector.
Yeah. Somehow a beam of light finds you through transparent walls.
Well, you know, it still
has
to find me. It's still a sentient beam of light. It's still impressive, Dylan. And so she turns to it and she's looking through the light. Her eyes are almost in tears because she's so filled with this idea of rapture. And she's like, the one true God found me in hell. Their light touched me even in that darkness. Their quest for me began that day. And I shall not abandon them.
I fish out some Wayfair sunglasses from my robe and pop them on.
One true God. Which one is that?
The big greatsword comes off their back and the point goes down and they form that perfect helm pose with the greatsword pointed down, their hands on the hilt, their shoulders out. You can almost see the form of the shield form around them. They don't even have to say the name.
Oh. Yeah, I grew up next to an Episcopalian family. Okay, I get it. Listen, I don't have the time now. I'm kind of busy, as you can see, with the whole...
All you have is time.
Well, when you're lucky, you're a walk-in. You're the one... Hey, who's the one who has an appointment book here? And who's the one who just walked in? I think, again, it seems like you have us confused with each other. I have a lot of things. Yes, I have unlimited time, and it's very booked. I can get you in if you want to do this later, 6 weeks, 8 weeks later. I don't have time, but it seems, again, your truth, this idea of truth... if there's anything I've learned from these old bones, there is no absolute. There is no everything. If all you're doing is you're taking the material plane as your practice run before your dress rehearsal. And let me tell you, when you get to the big show, when you get up there, they laugh a lot. They laugh certainly a lot less, and they don't applaud for you at the end. This is it. This is what we're doing here.
As you're describing this and flipping through your book and showing how busy you are, she would lean forward. I suggest you clear your schedule, for you have an appointment with Destiny.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Jesus Christ. Okay.
I mean, it seems like you're another misguided. It seems like your methodology here is a little misguided, and I can direct you towards the complaints department. But if you're done here, I would ask you firmly, you should make your leave. I have an appointment with the statue committee.
I think she'd pull up her sword, grip the handle tightly, crack her shoulders. I'm afraid we're not quite done yet.
This is my least favorite part of the job.
We're gonna roll for initiative.
All right.
Let's absolutely do that.
I have a plus one, which gives me an initiative, even though I was very ready, of 6.
It's fine. I got a 20. It's fine. I got an 18 plus 3.
Then, Shaban, what do you want to do?
You know what? Not the first time I've had someone storm into my office and tell me they know the truth.
I reach into my cloak. And I have, I reach in with my right hand and I pull out my left hand, which is all desiccated and nasty, except, of course, for my pointer finger, which is glowing with a radiant purple light. And I just kind of touch you with it because I'm using finger of death, my friends.
What is my saving throw?
Constitution DC 20.
Yes, as the negative energy courses through your body, it shimmers and lights and crackles against the lightness.
I rolled a 14 plus 6 is 20.
Okay, that's going to be half damage. So that's going to be 78 plus 30.
All right, that's 30. 32 plus 30.
31 points of damage.
You are immediately racked with pain.
Can't breathe, like the whole chest tightens up. Like it feels like death.
It feels like a panic attack.
Which is worse.
Like it's not even necessarily death. It is the process of your body thinking it's dying and then reacting to that fact, like almost overcompensating, trying to force the life to move.
I'm sorry, did you think you were going to come in here and do your whole light thing and tell me I'm wrong? And then you just like, everything's cool and fine? You think that you just thought that? All right, yeah, who's the misguided? Once again, I have to ask, who's the misguided one in this situation?
And then you just see the eyes flash with this golden, holy light. And I grab your hand and I stand up and I look right at you and I cast Banishment.
Stupid, dumb, stupid and dumb.
That is a charisma save of 17, please.
Well, it's fine because I rolled a 19 plus 3, which is a 22.
Her idea was banish you, run around for a minute, try and find the phylactery, and then come back. But I guess it's just going to be a fight.
Oh, so what was your idea? You were going to, like, send me to the demiplane of self-righteousness, and then you were going to run around and look for my soul for a little while, and then I was going to pop back?
Insight. When they say that, do they look somewhere?
Roll insight.
That's a 19 plus 1 is 20.
Oh, I rolled a 2. Oops, I look
at
my desk.
All right, I know it's in the desk.
I'm like, oh, you were just going to run around for a while as I look over your left shoulder.
As you look towards the desk, and then you see that I'm looking towards the desk, and you realize at the same time that I realize where it is.
Hey, stop it.
And that's when I use disrupt life. I'm like, hey, stop it. And I go poof. And just like in a 20 foot circle around me. Just purple magic just bursting out of me. And that's one of my those are my legendary actions.
Aram, you see the copy of Power Broker. Magic courses over it. As you can see, Disrupt Life basically starts to further desiccate the skin on the cover, and the magic that maintains the book basically pushes back and allows it to remain physically constituted. Now you need to make a DC 18 con save.
Natural 20 plus 6 is 26.
Okay, so that's passed. It's going to be half damage.
The 21, let's just use the regular 21 divided by 2. That's 11.
11 points of damage. Yeah. It sucks, but I'm still up.
All right, now I have a question, Dylan.
Yep.
That was my legendary action.
Mm-hmm.
Can I still go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Legendary actions trigger after anyone's turn but yours and don't interfere with initiative order.
I throw my extra hand at you and all five fingers touches you right on the chest over your what's the symbol of your god?
It's a shield. It's just a shield. Everything's a shield.
Oh yeah, that touches you right on the shield and
power word kill.
Okay, so Aram, how many hit points do you have?
90.
Okay, that's less than 100, you die. You utter a word of power that can compel one creature you see within range to die instantly. If the creature you choose has less than 100 hit points or fewer, it dies. Otherwise, the spell has no effect.
I think that Kelvani, because you're dead now, so Kelvani falls backwards with a loud clang. I can smell the magic like ebbing off of your armor. And I move my hands around, little twinkling of my fingers. And you hear clank, 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 clank. As Kelvani's body comes back, stands back up. And it's like,
oh, Kelvani, can you go get me a latte? I'm like, so my headache, the caffeine headache I'm having is so bad. Could just really quick. I know it's not your job. I would just really appreciate it if you could just go do that. Just talk to Darlene for directions. I know it's your first day. They'll point you towards the good coffee shop. Don't go to the bad one.
Thank you for joining us for The Lich.
If any of the ideas we've discussed on the show have sparked some of your own, tell us about it on Twitter at KEM Podcast. You'll find me at DJ Malenfant and Aram at Aram Vardian.
For ad-free episodes, early releases, bonus episodes, print-ready maps, our new audio DMs notes, and my character sheets for each encounter, head over to patreon.com/deadghostpro.
Our intro theme and many of the sound effects you hear in the show were created by BattleBards. Check them out at battlebards.com.
This episode was produced by Aram Vartian and Dylan Malenfant. I also did the editing. We were joined by Eric Silver. You can find Eric on Blue Sky at ericsilver.bsky.social. And if you are anything like me and all of that information just fell right out of your head, you'll find everything you need at killeverymonster.com.
And we'll see you next time for Kill Every Monster.